All right, welcome to another deep dive. This time, we're gonna be looking at Vamsi Talks Tech's blog post.
Yeah.
And it's all about the evolution of large language models throughout 2024 and what we can expect in 2025. And we have a pretty technical audience, so we're gonna skip the marketing hype
Right.
and just stick to like the
Get
hardcore,
your
the
text.
tech stuff, the technical details. One thing that really stood out to me from this post was this shift away from,
Yeah.
bigger is better to this focus on efficiency and specialized LLMs.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. The industry is starting to realize that just blindly scaling up these models isn't sustainable. I mean, the cost, the energy consumption, and you even start seeing diminishing returns. It makes sense to be focusing on parameters and stuff.
It makes you wonder, right? Like, is bigger always better, or are we hitting a point where like efficiency just becomes the king? So the blog post kind of goes into, a bunch of different LLMs that are being developed by all the major players. OpenAI, Google, Anthropic, DeepSeek, and Meta.
All the big
All
names.
the big, yeah, exactly. Let's start with OpenAI. They're projected to release GPT 4.5 Orion in early 2025.
I've heard a lot of buzz around that.
What's the big deal? What are they saying?
Well, they're really focusing on energy efficiency with this one, trying to reduce energy consumption by like 30%,
Wow.
which is pretty substantial. And they're doing this through hardware optimizations, new GPUs and custom accelerators,
Oh, interesting.
as well as some pretty innovative algorithmic refinements.
So less power hungry, but still just as powerful, hopefully.
That seems to be the goal. They're also exploring some interesting techniques like model distillation,
Okay.
where they have these smaller student models that learn from a larger teacher model,
Interesting.
and then quantization, which uses less memory and processing power.
Makes sense. So efficiency is one thing, but what other advancements can we expect from GPT 4.5? So is there anything else on the horizon?
Multimodal integration.
Ah, okay.
It's a big one. The projections are that GPT 4.5 is going to be able to handle text, images, and audio even better than the previous versions.
That's pretty cool.
And there are rumors of like video integration down the line.
Oh, wow.
They're working on creating these joint embedding spaces where they can map different data types for, cross-modal understanding.
So OpenAI's got their focus on efficiency and these multimodal capabilities, but what about Google? They've got Gemini Ultra also expected early 2025.
Yep, Gemini Ultra.
How does it stack up?
Well, from what I've seen, they're really doubling down on those multimodal
All
capabilities
right.
and also on the reasoning side, like proficiency in reasoning.
Interesting.
They're integrating structured data and knowledge graphs into the model to improve contextual understanding.
Oh, wow.
So you can imagine like a model that can not only understand, let's say, a news article, but also grasp the relationships between entities mentioned in the article or the historical context, or even like, glean sentiment from images or videos that are associated with that article.
That's really impressive. It sounds like it can make some pretty serious connections. What about the reasoning side of things? What advancements are they making there?
It's projected that Gemini Ultra will excel in like advanced mathematical reasoning.
Oh, wow.
And there's speculation they might be using techniques like curriculum learning or program synthesis, where the model actually generates and verifies code to solve those
I
problems.
mean, that's pretty crazy. It's like
It's wild.
it's blurring the lines between data analysis and actual problem solving. So
Yeah.
that's incredible.
Right.
So is that all they're doing with Gemini Ultra? Or what else is on the roadmap?
Well, they're definitely building on their work with code generation models like AlphaCode. Gemini Ultra will likely be trained on even larger, more diverse code data sets. I mean, you can imagine refined attention mechanisms to better understand code structure, and they might even incorporate feedback from code execution right into the training process.
So learning by doing, in a way.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
so OpenAI, Google, they're really going head to head.
Yeah.
But let's move on to Anthropic.
Okay.
They're taking kind of a different approach, right?
Yeah. With Claude 4, which is also expected in 2025, they're really prioritizing ethical considerations and safety. They want to kind of refine their approach to responsible AI development, potentially using techniques like constitutional AI, where the model's behavior is guided by a predefined set of ethical principles.
So it's like building safeguards right into the model itself.
Exactly.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. They're also tackling factual accuracy. You know how LLMs sometimes hallucinate and make stuff up?
Yeah, the hallucinations. Yeah, right.
So they're looking at techniques like retrieval augmented generation, so they can give the model access to external knowledge sources.
Oh, wow.
To try to reduce those hallucinations.
So they're giving it like a reference library.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So safety, accuracy, what else can we expect from Claude 4? Anything else big?
They're probably going to focus on extending the model's context window, you know, allowing it to process and remember even longer sequences of text than before. This might involve using like more efficient attention mechanisms or even external memory architectures.
So Claude 4, safety, accuracy in that extended context.
Yep.
Now, there's another company that I'm not as familiar with, DeepSeek.
DeepSeek.
What makes them stand out?
They're kind of a newcomer, but they're shaking things up a bit with their focus on like radical efficiency.
Okay.
They're aiming to achieve like performance comparable to the big guys,
right,
but at a fraction of the cost.
Really? How are they doing that?
Their secret weapon is something called sparse mixture of experts, or SMOE.
SMOE, okay.
So instead of using like all of the parameters in the model for every single input,
right,
it selects like a subset of expert subnetworks based on the task,
yeah,
makes it way more efficient.
So it's like a more like targeted approach.
Exactly.
Depending on what you need to do.
Exactly, yeah.
So their upcoming model, R1, that's projected for January 2025 release.
Yeah.
That aims to match GPT-4 level performance,
mm-hmm,
but costing significantly less to develop and train.
Yeah.
Do we know like how much cheaper we're talking?
They estimate R1 will cost about $5.6 million to develop and train. Compare that to like 50 to 100 million or more for models like GPT-4.
Wow.
And they're also claiming to require significantly fewer GPUs for training, something like 2,048 compared to the 10,000 to 20,000 that are often used for these similar size models.
That's a huge difference. If they can actually pull that off,
yeah,
that could really change the game.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. What about Meta? What's their game plan?
Meta, with their Llama series, they're really focused on accessibility and open source development.
Okay.
Their next model, Llama 3, which we should see sometime in 2025,
mm-hmm,
will likely continue this.
Okay.
And it'll allow researchers and developers to, you know, build upon their work.
So it's good for, like, the AI community as a whole.
Yeah. Definitely fosters innovation.
Mm-hmm. What other developments can we expect from Llama 3? Is there anything else, like, groundbreaking?
They're really pushing for broader language support.
Okay.
So Llama 3 will be trained on a more diverse data set, covering a wider range of languages than before. They'll probably be using techniques like cross-lingual transfer learning and multilingual embedding spaces.
So they're breaking down those language barriers.
Yeah, exactly.
Making these LLMs accessible to like a wider audience.
Precisely.
Now, we've talked about all these really exciting advancements, but I think there's a big elephant in the room that we need to address.
And that's the environmental impact of these massive models.
Really?
The energy consumption is, it's definitely a serious concern.
Yeah, no doubt.
What's the industry doing about it?
Well, they are working on solutions.
Okay.
One of the key areas is developing like more energy efficient hardware.
Okay.
Specialized chips specifically designed for AI workloads.
So it's not just about optimizing the models themselves,
right,
but also the hardware they run on.
Exactly.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and there's also a lot of ongoing research into optimizing those core algorithms to reduce those computational demands without sacrificing performance.
So it sounds like a multi-pronged approach.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, the question remains, as these models become more and more powerful,
yeah,
how do we ensure that their development and deployment is sustainable?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we need to move beyond just building like impressive tech,
right,
and really consider those long-term consequences. Make sure that technological progress isn't coming at the expense of the planet.
I completely agree. So let's switch gears a bit and talk about some of the technical innovations that are driving these advancements.
Yes.
The blog post mentions a few key areas, and I'm particularly interested in parameter efficiency.
Yeah, parameter efficiency, that's huge right now.
Yeah.
We're seeing all kinds of new techniques like low-rank adaptation or LoRA and weight sharing, which allow developers to fine-tune these massive models with like way fewer parameters.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which makes them more efficient to train and deploy.
So it's about making them more compact and efficient without like sacrificing their capability.
Precisely.
That's impressive. So it's not just about the model architecture itself.
Right.
There are also advancements in training methodologies.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
The post mentions multitask learning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. So with multitask learning, you basically train the model on multiple tasks at the same time. It's like, you know.
It's like multitasking for AI.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it becomes more versatile, more efficient.
Exactly.
That's really interesting. What other training advancements are there?
Well, we already touched on curriculum learning a little bit with Gemini Ultra.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Where you basically train the model on like increasingly complex tasks, mimicking how humans learn. Hmm. It helps them develop more robust reasoning capabilities.
So it's like giving them a more well-rounded education.
Yeah, you could say that.
So we've got parameter efficiency, advanced training techniques. What about this increasing focus on multimodal integration?
Well, multimodal is definitely a hot topic right now.
Yeah.
Researchers are developing all sorts of new architectures and training methods that allow LLMs to process information from, you know, multiple sources, yeah. Text, images, audio, even video.
So it's like moving beyond just text and enabling these LLMs to interact with the world in a more like a more holistic way.
Yeah, exactly.
All this sounds incredibly promising.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there are still challenges ahead.
Oh, absolutely. Plenty of challenges.
The blog post highlights challenges like data privacy, model transparency, scalability, and, you know, ethical considerations.
All the big ones.
Yeah, exactly. Let's start with data privacy.
Okay.
These models are trained on, you know, massive amounts of data.
Yeah.
How do we make sure that data is being handled responsibly?
Well, there are a couple of key approaches. One is differential privacy,
okay.
Where you add noise to the data during training
okay.
to make it really hard to identify individuals.
Oh, interesting.
And then there's federated learning,
mm-hmm.
where you train the models on decentralized data sets.
Okay.
So the data stays on the user's devices.
So it's about protecting individual privacy while still being able to develop these powerful models.
Exactly.
And then there's model transparency.
Yes. The black box problem.
Right. It's hard to understand how these models are arriving at their conclusions.
Yeah, they can be really opaque.
So how do we make these models more transparent and understandable?
Well, researchers are working on new techniques and tools to basically peer inside these models.
Okay.
To help us understand their decision-making process,
mm-hmm.
which is really important for building trust.
Right.
And also mitigating potential biases or unintended consequences.
So transparency and accountability are crucial.
Absolutely essential.
Especially as these models become more integrated into our lives.
Yeah. What about scalability?
Yeah.
Even with all the efficiency improvements, training and deploying these massive models at scale still requires like immense computational resources and expertise. We need new infrastructure and tools to handle the sheer volume of data and processing power that's required.
It's not just about building better models.
Right.
It's about building a better ecosystem to support them.
Exactly.
And I think all of these challenges really highlight the need for a more holistic and responsible approach to LLM development.
Absolutely.
It's not just about performance. We need to consider those broader societal and ethical implications as well.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in this first part of our deep dive.
Yeah, we have.
We've gone from specific advancements in individual models to those broader challenges facing the field. What do you think are like the biggest takeaways so far?
Well, I think the biggest takeaway for me is that the LLM landscape is definitely shifting away from that focus on sheer size to one that prioritizes efficiency, sustainability, and responsible development.
Yeah.
And this shift is driving incredible innovation in areas like model architecture, training methodologies, data privacy techniques.
It's an exciting time to be following this field.
Oh, absolutely.
It feels like we're witnessing like a fundamental change in how LLMs are being developed and deployed. But before we continue our deep dive, let's take a quick break. Welcome back. We just finished talking about how the world of LLMs is shifting towards efficiency and specialized models.
Right.
Now let's see how these advancements are actually playing out in the real world. Where are LLMs making a real difference?
One area that's really exciting is scientific research.
Okay.
Especially in fields like drug discovery and material science. LLMs are becoming essential tools for researchers.
That makes sense. I mean, those fields deal with huge amounts of data.
Exactly.
Can you give us an example of how they're using LLMs in drug discovery?
Well, imagine trying to find a needle in a haystack.
Okay.
That's kind of what drug discovery is like. You have to sift through mountains of data to find promising drug candidates.
Right.
But LLMs can analyze massive data sets of molecular structures much faster than traditional methods.
So they're speeding up the process of finding new treatments.
Exactly.
It's huge.
And it's not just about speed. LLMs can also uncover hidden patterns and relationships in complex data, things that human researchers might miss.
So they're not just faster, they're also finding things we might not have found otherwise.
Right.
What about material science? How are they using LLMs there?
Well, think about designing a new material.
Okay.
You need to know how different elements will interact with each other. LLMs can analyze the properties of existing materials and then use that knowledge to predict the properties of new combinations.
So they're helping to create like custom design materials.
Exactly.
With specific properties.
Right.
That's amazing. It sounds like LLMs are really revolutionizing these scientific fields.
They definitely are.
But what about their impact on our everyday lives? How are they changing the way we work and interact with technology?
LLMs are already changing the way we work and communicate.
Okay.
One of the most obvious examples is chatbots.
Right.
You know, those automated customer service agents. LLMs are making those chatbots much more sophisticated.
I've noticed that. Some of them are so good now, it's almost like talking to a real person.
Exactly. And that's just the beginning. LLMs are being used to automate all sorts of tasks in different industries, from finance to education.
So they're freeing up human workers to focus on more complex and creative tasks.
Right.
It's not about replacing humans. It's about augmenting their abilities.
Exactly.
That's an important distinction. And it's not just about automation either. LLMs can actually enhance human creativity.
Absolutely.
How so?
Well, for example, writers can use LLMs to brainstorm ideas or generate outlines, even write entire articles.
Wow.
And artists can use LLMs to compose music or create visual art.
It's like LLMs are becoming creative partners.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. They're giving us new tools to explore our creativity.
This is all incredibly exciting. But I think it's important to acknowledge that there are potential downsides to this technology as well.
Of course.
Any powerful technology comes with risks.
Right.
One concern I hear a lot is about job displacement. If LLMs can automate so many tasks, what happens to the people who are currently doing those jobs?
That's a valid concern, and it's something we need to be thinking about carefully. But I believe that LLMs will ultimately create more jobs than they displace.
Really?
Yeah. They'll lead to entirely new industries and professions.
So it's about adapting to a changing landscape.
Exactly. We need to focus on retraining workers for those new jobs. And we need to have policies in place to support people who may be displaced during this transition.
That's a really important point. It's not just about the technology itself. It's about ensuring that everyone benefits from it.
I completely agree.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, what's the key takeaway you want listeners to remember about the real-world impact of LLMs?
I think the most important thing to remember is that the future of LLMs is not set in stone. It's a future that we are creating through the choices we make today.
That's a powerful thought. So stay tuned for the final part of our deep dive, where we'll wrap up our discussion about LLMs and what it all means for you, our listener. Welcome back for the final part of our deep dive into LLMs. We've talked about the tech, the real-world applications, and even some of the challenges. Now let's step back and look at the bigger picture. What does the future hold for LLMs? And what does all of this mean for you, our listeners?
The future is incredibly exciting. I think we're just at the beginning of what's possible with these models. As they become more powerful, efficient, accessible, they're going to impact just about every part of our lives.
That's a big statement. What are some ways you see LLMs shaping the future?
Imagine LLMs that are just seamlessly integrated into our daily lives. They could help us manage our schedules, our finances, give us personalized education and healthcare recommendations.
LLMs is like super-powered personal assistants.
Exactly. They could be like intelligent filters for all the information that's thrown at us constantly, helping us prioritize what matters and make better decisions. And they could help us communicate better, break down language barriers, and connect people globally.
Those are some really compelling possibilities.
Yeah.
But we've got to be careful, right? With this much power comes a lot of responsibility. How do we make sure these advancements are used for good and don't have unintended negative consequences?
That's the big question, isn't it? It's going to require collaboration between researchers, developers, policymakers, and the public. We all need to be involved.
What are some key things we need to focus on to ensure responsible development and deployment?
Transparency and accountability are absolutely essential. We have to understand how these models are making decisions, and we need to hold them accountable for the outputs. That's going to be crucial for building trust and preventing any biases or harmful outcomes.
So it's not enough to just create powerful models. They have to be models we can trust.
Exactly. We also need to address the ethical implications. Privacy, security, potential misuse. Clear guidelines and regulations will be essential to ensure responsible use.
It sounds like a lot of work, but also there's a lot of potential for good here.
Absolutely. The future isn't fixed. It's something we're creating right now. By being thoughtful, considering different perspectives, and putting responsible development first, we can use LLMs to create a better future for everyone.
I love that. So as we wrap up our deep dive, what's the one thing you want our listeners to take away from this?
I want them to understand that LLMs aren't just a technological thing. They're a powerful tool that can change our world in significant ways. We all need to be engaged, ask critical questions, and work together to make sure these technologies are used for good.
Well said. And to our listeners, we encourage you to keep exploring, stay informed, and join these ongoing conversations about LLMs and the future they hold. The future is something we create, and with LLMs, we have an amazing opportunity to shape it in ways we're just beginning to imagine. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Keep exploring and stay curious.